Chapter 2. John. I know. Send Pinhorn to me means send my bonny brown hair, and send my beautiful complexion, and send my figure, and, oh Lord! Oh Lord! What an old tigress that is! What an old Hector! How she do twist Milliken round her thumb! He's born to be bullied by women. And I remember him henpecked, let's see, ever since the time of that little Gloverus at Woodstock, whose picture poor Mrs. M. made such a noise about when she found it in the lumber room. Heh! Her picture will be going into the lumber room someday. M. must marry to get rid of his mother-in-law and mother over him. No man can stand it, not M. himself, who's a job of a man. Isn't he? Look at him. As he has been speaking, the bell has rung, the page has run to the garden door, and Milliken enters through the garden, laden with a hamper, bandbox, and cricket bat.
Milliken. Why was the carriage not sent for me, Howell? There was no cab at the station, and I have had to toil all the way up the hill with these confounded parcels of my lady's.
John. I suppose the shower took off all the cabs, sir. When did a man ever get a cab in a shower, or a policeman at a pinch, or a friend when you wanted him, or anything at the right time, sir?
Milliken. But, sir, why didn't the carriage come, I say?
John. You know.
Milliken. How do you mean I know? Confound your impudence.
John. Lady Kickleberry took it, your mother-in-law took it, went out a visiting Ham Common, Petersham. Wickham deuce knows where. She, and her footman, and her spaniel dog.
Milliken.
Well, sir, suppose her ladyship did take the carriage? Hasn't she a perfect right? And if the carriage was gone, I want to know, John, why the devil the pony chaise wasn't sent with the groom? Am I to bring a bonnet box, and a hamper of fish in my own hands, I should like to know?
John.
Heh.
Laughs.
Milliken. Why do you grin, you Cheshire cat?
John. Your mother-in-law had the carriage, and your mother sent for the pony chaise. Your pa wanted to go and see the Wiker of Putney. Mr. Bonington don't like walking when he can ride.
Milliken.
And why shouldn't Mr. Bonington ride, sir, as long as there's a carriage in my stable? Mr. Bonington has had the gout, sir. Mr. Bonington is a clergyman, and married to my mother. He has every title to my respect.
John.
And to your pony chaise, yes, sir.
Milliken.
And to everything he likes in this house, sir.
John.
What a good fellow you are, sir. You'd give your head off your shoulders, that you would. Is the fish for dinner today?
Bandbox for my lady, I suppose, sir.
Looks in, turban, feathers, bugles, marabouts, spangles, deuce knows what.
Yes, it's for her ladyship.
To page.
Charles, take this bandbox to her ladyship's maid.
To his master.
What sauce would you like with the turbot?
Lobster sauce or hollandaise?
Hollandaise is best most wholesome for you. Anybody besides Captain Touchett coming to dinner?
Milliken.
No one that I know of.
John.
Very good. Bring up a bottle of the brown hock. He likes the brown hock, Touchett does.
Exit John.
Enter children. They run to Milliken.
Both.
How do you do, Papa? How do you do, Papa?
Milliken.
Kiss your old father, Arabella.
Come here, George what?
George. Don't care for kissing, kissings for gals. Have you brought me that bat from London?
Milliken.
Yes. Here's the bat, and here's the ball,
takes one from pocket,
and, George. Where's the wickets, Papa? Oh, where's the wickets?
Howls.
Milliken. My dear, darling boy. I left them at the office. What a silly Papa I was to forget them. Parkins forgot them.
George.
Then turn him away, I say. Turn him away.
He stamps.
Milliken.
What?
An old, faithful clerk and servant of your father and grandfather for 30 years past? An old man, who loves us all, and has nothing but our pay to live on?
Arabella. Oh, you naughty boy. George. I ain't a naughty boy. Arabella. You are a naughty boy. George. He.
Grins at her.
Millican. Hush, children. Here, Arabella darling, here is a book for you. Look, aren't they pretty pictures? Arabella. Is it a story, Papa? I don't care for stories in general. I like something instructive and serious. Grandmama Bonington and Grandpapa say, George. He's not your grandpapa. Arabella. He is my grandpapa. George. Oh, you great story. Look. There's a cab.
Runs out. The head of a handsome cab is seen over the garden gate. Bell rings. Page comes. Altercation between cabman and Captain Touchett appears to go on, during which,
Millican. Come and kiss your old father, Arabella. He's hungry for kisses. Arabella. Don't. I want to go and look at the cab, and to tell Captain Touchett that he mustn't use naughty words.
Runs towards garden. Page is seen carrying a carpet bag.
Enter Touchett through the open window smoking a cigar. Touchett. How do you do, Millican? How are Tallows? Hey, my noble merchant. I have brought my bag and intend to sleep, George. I say, Godpapa, Touchett. Well, Godson. George. Give us a cigar. Touchett. Oh, you infant terrible. Millican
Weasley.
I am George Touchett. You wouldn't mind the smoking that cigar in the garden, would you? Ah. Touchett. Hello. What's in the wind now? You used to be a most inveterate smoker, Horace. Millican. The fact is my mother-in-law Lady Kickleberry doesn't like it, and while she's with us, you know, Touchett. Of course.
Throws away cigar.
I beg her ladyship's pardon. I remember when you were courting her daughter she used not to mind it. Millican. Don't allude to those times.
He looks up at his wife's picture.
George. My mama was a Kickleberry. The Kickleberries are the oldest family in all the world. My name is George Kickleberry Millican, of Piggyonkit, Hants, The Grove, Richmond, Surrey, and Portland Place, London Esquire my name is. Touchett. You have forgotten Billiter Street, Hemp and Tallow Merchant. George. Oh, bother. I don't care about that. I shall leave that when I'm a man. When I'm a man, and come into my property. Millican. You come into your property? George. I shall, you know, when you're dead, Papa. I shall have this house, and Piggyonkit. And the house in town, no, I don't mind about the house in town and I shan't let Bella live with me, no, I won't. Bella. No, I won't live with you. And I'll have Piggyonkit. George. You shan't have Piggyonkit. I'll have it. And the ponies. And I won't let you ride them and the dogs, and you shan't have even a puppy to play with and the dairy, and won't I have as much cream as I like, that's all. Touchett. What a darling boy. Your children are brought up beautifully, Millican. It's quite delightful to see them together. George. And I shall sing the name of Millican, I shall. Millican. Sing the name? Why, George. George. Because the Millicans are nobodies, Grandmama says they are nobodies. The Kickleberries are gentlemen, and came over with William the Conqueror. Bella. I know when that was. 1100 and 1191. George. Bother when they came over. But I know this, when I come into the property I shall sing the name of Millican. Millican. So you are ashamed of your father's name, are you, George, my boy? George. Ashamed. No, I ain't ashamed. Only Kickleberry is sweller. I know it is. Grandmama says so. Bella. My grandmama does not say so. My dear grandmama says that family pride is sinful, and all belongs to this wicked world, and that in a very few years, what our names are will not matter. George. Yes, she says so, because her father kept a shop, And so did Pa's father keep a sort of shop, only Pa's a gentleman now.
Touch it. Darling child, how I wish I were married. If I had such a dear boy as you, George, do you know what I would give him?
George, quite pleased.
What would you give him, Godpapa?
Touch it. I would give him as sound a flogging as ever boy had, my darling. I would whip this nonsense out of him. I would send him to school, where I would pray that he might be well thrashed. And if when he came home he was still ashamed of his father, I would put him apprentice to a chimney sweep, that's what I would do.
George, I'm glad you're not my father, that's all.
Bella,
and I'm glad you're not my father, because you are a wicked man.
Milliken,
Arabella,
Bella,
Grandmama says so. He is a worldly man, and the world is wicked. And he goes to the play, and he smokes, and he says, touch it.
Bella, what do I say?
Bella,
oh, something dreadful.
You know you do.
I heard you say it to the cabman.
Touch it.
So I did, so I did.
He asked me 15 shillings from Piccadilly, and I told him to go to somebody whose name begins with a D, children.
Here's another carriage passing.
Bella, the Lady Rumble's carriage.
George,
no, it ain't.
It's Captain Boxer's carriage.
They run into the garden.
Touch it.
And this is the pass to which you have brought yourself, Horace Milliken.
Why, in your wife's time, it was better than this, my poor fellow.
Milliken,
don't speak of her in that way, George. Touch it.
Touch it.
What have I said? I am only regretting her loss for our sake. She tyrannized over you, turned your friends out of doors, took your name out of your clubs, dragged you about from party to party, though you can no more dance than a bear, and from opera to opera, though you don't know odd save the Queen from Yule Britannia.
You don't, sir. You know you don't.
But Arabella was better than her mother, who has taken possession of you since your widowhood.
Milliken.
My dear fellow.
No, as he hasn't.
There's my mother.
Touch it.
Yes. To be sure, there's Mrs. Bonington, and they quarrel over you like the two ladies over the baby before King Solomon.
Milliken.
Play the satirist, my good friend.
Laugh at my weakness.
Touch it. I know you to be as plucky a fellow as ever stepped, Milliken, when a man's in the case. I know you and I stood up to each other for an hour and a half at Westminster.
Milliken.
Thank you. We were both dragons of war. Tremendous champions. Perhaps I am a little soft as regards women. I know my weakness well enough. But in my case, what is my remedy? Put yourself in my position. Be a widower with two young children. What is more natural than that the mother of my poor wife should come and superintend my family? My own mother can't. As he has a half dozen of little half-brothers and sisters, and a husband of her own to attend to. I dare say Mr. Bonington and my mother will come to dinner today.
Touch it.
Of course they will, my poor old Milliken. You don't dare to dine without them.
Milliken.
Don't go on in that manner, George. Touch it.
Why should not my stepfather and my mother dine with me?
I can afford it. I am a domestic man, and like to see my relations about me. I am in the city all day.
Touch it.
Luckily for you.
Milliken.
And my pleasure of an evening is to sit under my own vine, and under my own fig tree with my own olive branches round about me, to sit by my fire with my children at my knees, to cose over a snug bottle of claret after dinner with a friend like you to share it, to see the young folks at the breakfast table of a morning, and to kiss them, and so off to business with a cheerful Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.